The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Tyler Morris, Director of Product Management, and April Chen, Product Manager for Iron Mountain Government Solutions. Good morning. How are you two doing?
Good. Great. Good morning.
Iron Mountain sounds like a big, serious, hard topic here. On Iron Mountain. Well, we're not going to talk about Iron Mountains. We're going to talk about records management, and what the federal government has as far as challenges in that area. And what I'm trying to do is just throw out some solutions and let people maybe decide if this is worth it for them. And by the way, April, my typical listener is a federal IT professional, shows up for 9 o'clock in the morning, starts beating their head against the wall, and goes home at 5. They're presented with all kinds of problems. They're expected to move to the cloud. They're expected to be transparent. They're expected to retain records. And oh, by the way, their budget's getting decreased and they have fewer people. And so it's very frustrating. And I go to a lot of events and I talk to a lot of govies that I know, and I can sympathize with a lot of things. And during the interview, I'm going to bring up some of the comments and questions I've had from govies about records management. So it's going to be a good interview today. Before we begin, April, tell us about your background and how you wound up with Iron Mountain.
Sure. So I'm actually celebrating my third year at Iron Mountain. Marked my third year work anniversary this week. I am responsible today for Iron Mountain's federal records management and document conversion services. Before Iron Mountain, I was working in the healthcare industry as a consultant specializing in revenue management and contracting. Graduated from UC Berkeley, go Bears. Received my MBA from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And as I said, 3 years ago, I started my adventure here at Iron Mountain. I'm happy to be here.
Great. And you're based in Boston.
I'm based in Boston. That's correct.
And Tyler, you're a local boy, huh?
I am a local boy. I've been living in the DC area for about 13, 14 years. My background's slightly similar to April's. I came from a consulting background prior to Iron Mountain. I did management consulting for about 15 years, and then I've been with the company a little less than 2 years. And so my background was spent doing IT healthcare consulting, and then about 10 years doing management consulting for different federal agencies. So it's been a new change of pace for me doing work in the industry and instead of consulting, but still exciting. Looking at new products and new challenges for our customers.
About a year ago, we had Iron Mountain in the studio here, a guy named Kevin, and he's a great guy. And we kind of painted a picture of what the company is, the history of the company and the mushrooms and the whole thing. And I think people have seen the Iron Mountain trucks everywhere. I mean, it's a $3 billion company. I mean, it's almost like IBM. I mean, pretty much know what happens with Iron Mountain. What we're going to talk about today is a study that came out, and it looked at federal information technology professionals and said, well, what are your concerns as far as record managements go? And what about training? And what about the future? And how do you handle it? And we're going to take Iron Mountain and maybe just focus in on some specific problems that my listeners have with records management, records retention, and big piles of records that are coming in, and people legally are expected to retain them, and all kinds of different issues involved in that. April, give us maybe a snapshot of this little survey that you folks came up with.
Sure. So this survey, which was conducted by Market Connections, took a look at how not only records managers, but also line of business managers who manage records on a day-to-day basis, how they are perceiving their progress towards improved and transformed records management programs. We've done a lot of talking to records managers, that is our core audience, but we felt like there was a need to really see how is the message trickling down through the rest of the organization when we go another step further into line of business managers.
Yeah. So what I would add is, as part of that, we really found, we've done all these studies in the past that have been about records managers, and there's a lot of analysis in the market about that. But the people that are actually implementing the program, so the ones that are responsible for doing it, was a new market for us. And so the study we did, we worked with a company called Market Connections, and we did a online blind survey of 150 respondents. And we got a lot of really interesting responses, understanding what's the level of risk that they saw and where was really the difference between what records managers as well as the IT or business line professionals saw. So a real good cross-section for us and a different point of view than we've seen in the past, which is really, in the past, has been much more about, well, how do records managers feel about things? And this time it was, how do the records managers feel, but also how do the people who are deploying their programs feel about everything?
Yeah. And April, I brought up my contacts in the federal government because I was talking to a friend of mine named Joe, and we were at a Salesforce conference, and I was talking to him, and I said, well, Joe, why are you here? He goes, well, I'm like in a little silo, and I think I'm doing a real good job, and I'm pretty smart, and I work hard, but I don't know if I'm doing a good job until I see what's going on in other agencies. And I think the same thing's happening with many listeners, is that they may be in a little corporate silo, and they think they're doing a good job with records management, but what the survey does is, here's the same concerns, the guy down the hall, the person over here, people, same concerns, huh, April?
Right. So when you, and that's exactly what we're seeing today, is that, you know, some of the challenges we're seeing not only are individuals in silos, but the types of information that's being managed is in silos too. So until you can start leveraging, a holistic view of information management that doesn't just view paper by itself in its own library and you know, data and electronic data in its own server somewhere else, until you view those as one holistic information management program, it's going to be very difficult to really get the true value out of that information.
And I think that's the lesson from the last time Iron Mountain was in the studio, is that there ain't no silos. I mean, you're not in a silo. I mean, you're part of a process, and there are legal obligations that listeners have. And by the way, this is not just sitting somewhere alone in a room in Wyoming. You have to integrate with other people. It's almost like part of a platform almost. Is that too strong a word?
No, I don't think so. I think if you think about the challenges our customers face, there's a lot of policies and regulations out there that affect things, whether it's the Presidential Directive on Records Management, Freedom of Information Act, Reduce the Footprint, Open Government. All these things drive changes that our customers need to think about, or the agencies need to think about. How are they managing their records? Paper, electronic, social media, emails, everything. It all kind of flows together because it's all controlled by these different regulations. And they've got to work together and collaborate to make these, you know, problems be solved. So it's a real challenge for them. They can't operate in silos. It won't achieve the goals that they need.
April, I've had people from the EOP, the Executive Office of President, sit in these chairs, and they pound on the table and say, well, got to move to the cloud. Great. Well, we've got to be transparent. Right. And I'm believing in reducing costs by moving to the cloud. I don't think everything's meant for the cloud, but I'm encouraging it. But, you know, the idea of transparency, you're not going to be too transparent if you can't find the records, can you? I mean, okay, now what?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Agencies are in a position where they have the obligation, and, you know, through FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, they need to be transparent in what it is that they have. And it's not only for transparency, but it's also for just efficient workflows. How do you make decisions that are time sensitive if you can't find the information you need when you need it? And it's not only finding the information you need when you need it, but also protecting that information from others who shouldn't be seeing that information. There is a lot that has to come around governing information that spans both access and security.
When I reviewed the survey this morning, there's two words that popped out at me was perceived risk. And I think there are many individuals who, let's say you get married, you have two kids, and you don't have a life insurance policy. Well, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to get hit by a bus. Well, you know what? I think anyone in that position should be responsible and think, no, this is a possibility. And I think this is one of the highlights of the studies that, well, guess what, boys and girls? There's risk in you not complying with regulations for retaining documents.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. There's risk. And once there is a level of lower confidence, it also impacts your ability just to do your job at a productive, efficient level. As confidence levels increase and the perception of that increases, your ability to find the information you need and know that when or if some sort of disaster happens, that you can access that information and you can continue on forward, that's where you want to be. You don't want to wait till a disaster happens and you realize, oh no, I should have maybe had a backup plan.
Yeah, my friend AJ got hit by a bus. He should have had life insurance. Let's take a break and come back and talk more about having the conversation. And we're having a conversation here in the studio, but perhaps people listening should have a conversation about document management retention and what about training and what does NARA have to say about it and what options they have with different types of solutions that are out there. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Tyler Morris, Director of Product Management, and April Chen, Product Manager for Iron Mountain Government Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Tyler Morris, Director of Product Management, and April Chen, Product Manager for Iron Mountain Government Solutions. We're talking about document management, document retention, and I just had this thought in my mind as I was doing the intro here. My daughter's a civil engineer, and she's got a patent, and so she comes up from Charlottesville, and she goes to the patent office, and she's looking at records. Isn't that interesting? Now, I would get the poster child for records management. It's got to be the patent people. Huh? You have all these records. That's what she searches through the records to make sure there's no duplicates of what she's working on. So that's the poster child for you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, there's a lot of reasons that, and a lot of customers that are retaining this. And there's a lot of agencies that retain a lot of different vital records, critical records. And you know, patent office is a great one, right? Like, it's not just a matter of retaining it, but easy access to it, as you're describing. You know, how do they look up old patents? How do they access it? Having the right program in place and having the right confidence that you can find the information when you need it, that it's secure, that it's protected, is really, really essential to maintaining a robust and durable information governance program. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we've seen in a lot of our studies and analysis that, you know, agencies are really focused on and looking to grow to be more successful in the future.
April, I want to talk about conference man. In old movies from the 40s, they had a con man, which was somebody who'd take money from you somewhere or other. So confidence. But in this study, they talk about confidence that federal employees have for their records. What does your study come up with? What did it say?
Yeah, so we saw, start off, we'll say that for the most part, we're seeing that the White House, NARA, they've made a lot of great progress in providing oversight, but there's just that confidence level in the ability to execute is still a little bit behind. So some of the survey responses that we saw was that 85% of all the respondents stated that they weren't fully confident that their current records practices were meeting their agency needs. We were talking about access earlier. Only 41% reported that they were very confident that they could access their records in the event of a disaster. So, you know, there's room for improvement. And there's a lot of things. I think what was also interesting, too, as we were saying earlier, because we did focus on two perspectives, both the records management professionals as well as the line of business managers, we see some interesting contrast in how folks will answer these questions. And overall, we saw that those who were even closer to the records practice, so the records managers, they overall were going to be more confident. But as you move a little bit further away into the line of business managers, then that confidence level starts to go down. So it just speaks to a need for more alignment to boost the enterprise-wide confidence levels.
So if you work for the federal government and you type in records management, you stumble on this podcast over at Apple or you stumble on Federal News Radio, you can download this report and read it. And I read it this morning. And when they talk about a records liaison officer, I didn't even know what that was. Did you know what that was? I mean, who knew?
So it's funny. I probably prior to coming to Iron Mountain, I wouldn't have known what that
you're
is.
You're part of the survey.
Yeah,
though,
I'm sorry. Yeah, so I probably would have been a good person to take the survey because I would have answered no. But I know what it is now. So your records liaison officer and your records officer, they're really the people who are responsible for dictating and defining the policies and procedures that that agency is going to have. And what we found was interesting in our survey, and some of it is part of what goes into this low confidence, is your lines of business managers, there's not as many of them, just like myself, actually know who their records liaison officer is. Only 58% of the business managers that responded to our survey could actually tell us who that person was, and then only 27% of people actually ever interact with that person. So it really leads to, because they're not involved in the policy definition, they're not involved in participation of procedures or even measuring results, you've got to assume that their confidence level is probably lower because they're not participating in the actual activity. But you know, first things first, they kind of need to know who the person is and understand that.
So April, we're getting some information here, some metrics. So what can federal information technology professionals do to increase his confidence level?
So there is a need for overseeing records managers and the IT group to really start increasing their collaboration and communication early on. There are some things, and that's easier said than done, right? It's if that type of culture doesn't exist today, it's hard just to make that happen overnight. But there's some more tactical things that we've talked about with some of our own customers in sort of hot working sessions on how to brainstorm out how to do this. And one idea that came out was the idea of bringing the two groups together to create a common set of language, so that at the very baseline of just pure communication, that at least the two groups are talking the same language. Because, you know, records terms mean different things to different people. For records managers, it might be a little bit more technical in the information world, and for the IT folks, it might be more technical with respect to, you know, networks and computer systems and whatnot. And so having just that baseline of being able to talk the same language is a good first start. And then some other things to think about is trying to find a way to more formally include records managers in the process of purchasing or vetting new electronic systems, because they're a key end user. You want to make sure
classroom 101, involve the audience.
Yeah,
right?
You want to make sure that they're bought into it, and that, you know, once you do implement that system, you don't find out later, maybe we should have had this functionality or that functionality. It's much more expensive time-wise and money-wise to fix it after the fact than it is to do it right the first time.
Tyler, I just used the word classroom. I flashed back on my undergraduate career learning about macro and microeconomics. And when I was in graduate school, I studied GDA theory with a guy named Paul Kuznets. But I've never run into information economics. Is that a graduate-level course, or is that a special course you folks teach?
It is a special course that we teach, I suppose. So information economics is our Iron Mountain kind of approach. It's our kind of strategy for how do you get the, you know, the highest return on information, you know, not just return on investment, but the return on information that you can get. So, you know, April was giving some examples of ways that we would apply information economics, but it's really a kind of a methodology and approach that we apply and we work with our customers to understand. So it consists of three parts. There's your approach to information security, so about how are you maintaining and protecting your information. It's about governance, of putting the right programs and procedures in place to over control everything that you're doing. And then it's about access, so making sure the information's available for the right people at the right time. And if you do all of those things, you can get that value out of it, the information value. So what's your return on the information? Increased productivity, lower costs, savings, more insights. You know, we've seen as a lot of agencies, as the big data becomes even more critical, the ability for them to access information and look at it in ways they hadn't before. And so if you apply a lot of these concepts, it really makes a huge difference. So, you know, as we talk to customers, it's a really interesting concept, and we try to work with them about those three areas: security, access, and governance.
Whenever I get my kids together for Thanksgiving, I tell them that the biggest room in the world is room for improvement. And they all roll their eyes and say, I hear this every year. And this study talked about room for improvement as far as document retention, document management goes. The number is what, 60, 70%? So there's room for improvement in the way our agency handles this document retention issue?
Yeah. And I would argue that, you know, generally when you ask these types of questions, most people are going to say, yes, there's always going to be room for improvement. And it's not to say that we're not seeing that there's a lot of good things that we're seeing out of the survey, too. We're seeing that a lot of folks are getting at least some sort of training within their records programs, which is a good thing. Is there room for improvement so that there's more formalized training? Yes, but at least you know there are foundational elements that are in place. But yeah, again, to maximize, when we're talking about maximizing the value of information, there's more work to be done.
Let's take a little break and come back, talk more about training, and talk more about some options that my listeners have as far as improving confidence in the way they retain records. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This morning, we're speaking with Tyler Morris, Director of Product Management, and April Chen, Product Manager for Iron Mountain Government Services. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Tyler Morris, Director of Product Management, and April Chen, Product Manager for Iron Mountain Government Solutions. We're not talking about mountains, we're not talking about geology here. We're talking about records, records management, records retention. And, my experience has been is just a little bit of training can make life so much easier for people. You know, I mean, you go to the Home Depot, it says, take a course on how to put up tile rather than just jumping in and putting in tile, or just silly things like, you know, software development and training and that. And this study brings up some interesting facts about training. Tell us a little about April.
Yeah, so in the survey, what we found was that of those who responded, only 39% responding that that their employees were receiving formal training, which is lower than we want to see. In the survey, we also asked, you know, what are some of the greatest challenges an agency is facing? And the two that came out on top was, one, the tremendous growth of records, and two was lack of policy awareness at the end user level. Now, The first one, growth of records, that's not really something that agencies can exactly...
That's not headline news. No.
It's not headline news. The second one, however, is something that agencies should and can take action on. And one great step towards that is implementing a formal training program.
Tyler, I just want to ask a question here. If people are listening to this as an archive show when Bryce Harper's in the World Series this year and they want to download this report, where should they go to get this little white paper and learn more about?
So, two places are, the main place they should be going is ironmountain.com/records at risk. And they can also go to our blog site, which is blogs.ironmountain.com, and then do the drop down for federal. Either of those will help route them to this study, and they can read it and get more information.
And I read it this morning. In fact, pretty active on Twitter, at Iron Mountain. At Iron Mountain RM, which stands for Records Management, I guess, huh?
Yes.
And if you want to follow bloggers, which I do, it's @Lisa_DeLuca, and you can get all kinds of information about what's going on with Iron Mountain. I'm a big fan of blogs. Is there a blog that you read, Tyler, to keep up with this? Anything in particular? Maybe my listeners can tap your brain and, well, let's see what Tyler reads and figure what's going on in the area of records management. And is it the one in your company or...
So I keep up a lot of industry blogs. ARMA's blog, AIM's blog, even NARA, National Archives, has blogs and research they put out. So I keep up with all of those. They're all providing good information about what's going on in the market and industry. And, there's a lot of great information. I would recommend those to our listeners if they're interested more about records management. ARMA, NARA, great sites to get information on.
ARMA is nothing to do with armaments. ARMA, perhaps you can tell
us. ARMA, yeah.
So what does it stand for? Association for Records Management.
What does the last A stand for?
Whatever it happens to be, yeah. Because I saw that this morning. You said armaments. Oh, what's going on here?
No, not armaments. Right.
Not at all. So tell us more about training and what role this has in bringing people in, April, and how can this increase the confidence level of our listeners?
Sure, yeah. And, something I want to point out is that it's not just any training. The studies show that when an organization implements a formal training program as opposed to an informal one, that's what makes the difference. In fact, 98% of respondents who did receive formal training noted that it was impactful for them. What I think formal training does is that, one, it ensures that you have a consistent message that's being delivered to your entire workforce. And two, just the formality of the exercise, it signals that it's something that's important. It signals that it's something that needs to be paid attention to. And again, overall, when we looked at the survey responses, we were able to do some additional cross analysis between, you know, those who receive formal versus informal training. And across the board, again, there's just strong correlation between feeling more confident, feeling more more secure when those respondents marked that they did do formal training.
And according to the study, Tyler, I think that 17% didn't get any training at all. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I think you know, what we found is there, like April was saying, there's this connection between confidence and the training that they get, and the fact that there's, you know, close to 20% of people not getting training is you know, is a challenge. You know, a challenge we need to overcome. And what we found is, you know, as you correlate the two, it really boosts your confidence and your you know, ownership and responsibility that you feel for implementing these programs. And so, you know, we're always looking, and part of the things that we recommend as a governance program when we talk to customers is training is a big part of it. You need to kind of institutionalize that in it, whether, you know, we obviously recommend formal training over informal training, but any training is better than none. But the more formal we can make it, it really creates this level of ownership that people feel about records retention and management of information. And it really helps kind of make it a institutionalized effort throughout an agency.
We have many different agencies that are listening. I mean, there's some agencies I've never heard of before. Some collect a lot of information. Some collect nothing at all. But what I see happening, April, is that with this Internet of Things that we kind of joked about earlier, there's just a deluge of stuff coming in for some agencies. And they not only have to accept it, they have to classify it, organize it, and be able to produce it in case someone knocks on the door and says, "Hey, I'm John Gilroy. I want to find out about what happened 6 months ago." Who knows what happened 6 months ago, especially with increased information, another challenge just in and of itself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just the sheer volume, not just volume, but variety. And there's new types of data that's growing and emerging every single day. That is a challenge. And that requires collaboration. That requires folks who have expertise in not only physical records management, but also electronic and social media, email, et cetera. It requires everyone to talk and work together in unison, because it's only going to grow.
I went in my garage last night, and as I looked around, I stumbled on a tool bag that I have, like a canvas bag, and I always grab their special tools. Usually it's something to do with plumbing repair. But I think in the world of information technology, they need tools as well. And listeners may need tools to retrieve data. If April knocks on your door and says, "Tyler, okay, give me all the emails that were sent 6 months ago," you're not going to go in a file cabinet somewhere. You have to have a tool to find that, don't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of different mechanisms you can put in place, and, you know, we look at a lot of them. I think you know, some of them are you know, record procedures and tools to manage your physical records, right? That's you know, protecting information, storing it in the right locations, things like RFID on records boxes to track things easier, to not lose track of it, having records management software that allows you to know exactly what's in each physical box and what location. But for the electronic side of it, it's about having, you know, the correct retention, the correct automation, the correct information mapping. If you think about, like you said, there's how many databases or SharePoint sites or anything that agencies are using, knowing what's on them, who owns them, what they should be storing for how long. It is a monumental task. And there is, you know, new software and new capabilities out there to track it and to manage this. And, you know, it's something that we're always looking to try to help agencies think about, to, you know, map what they have, to retain it, and to also kind of make it automated so that it's kind of happening behind the scenes. And the quicker they can do that, the easier it makes it to implement these policies.
Earlier, we talked about information economics. There's another concept here called information security. And when you're deluged with information from so many different sources, another issue brings up, what about the security of all this information coming in and categorize it?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, there's a lot of news these days about security, about, you know, information hacks, email challenges, things like that. And, you know, in a way, it's, you know, we actually look at it as there's a positive side of it, which is it brings the topic of information governance and security kind of to the forefront. You know, one of the things that we saw in our study is that we found that 90% of the people that responded actually know what their email retention and security policy is, and 75% actually know exactly what the tools and mechanisms they have to do it. So You know, while it's not good when issues happen, the fact that it's becoming more prevalent and people knowing about it is really helping us. And so there's a lot of different ways that people should be thinking about, or agencies can be thinking about, protecting their information. You know, there is tiered ways of protecting your electronic data. There's offline backups. There's having your correct data, disaster recovery program in place. All of these things are critical. And as they look to see where they can go in the future, it's things we want to, keep focusing on and institutionalize.
In fact, I've read about a record management coalition out there that people are trying to bring this to light and try and engage the audience and say, well, have you considered what about this? And that's where we get, awareness and perception and perceived risk comes in. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about records management. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking to Tyler Morris, Director of Product Management, and April Chen, Product Manager for Iron Mountain Government Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio we have Tyler Morris, Director of Product Management, and April Chen, Product Manager for Iron Mountain Government Solutions. We all know what Iron Mountain does. It helps people retain records. Everyone's seen the trucks. Today, we're not talking about trucks. We're talking about management strategies and what federal listeners can do to try to make sure they comply with certain laws they have about retaining records and what best practices are. We've been focusing in on a report that was done by Market Connection, and you can go online and get that report. Is that right, Tyler? I think it's ironmountain.com. Is it Federal Records at Risk?
That's right, ironmountain.com/Federal Records at Risk.
You can download it and see, if you're sitting in an island somewhere wondering what you're doing, is everyone else has the same problem? Maybe you'll find out that you have some kindred spirits there. Who knows? What I always do is I have a special 10-question test for my guests, because people listen and go, April, I wonder if she's really a nerd or not. What kind of phone does she have? And so I've come up with a scientific 10-question test to find out who the card-carrying nerd is in this room, and I think we may have some competition here. I'm going to go first with Tyler. Tyler, number one, do you have an Instagram account?
No, I do not.
And how many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
Just one.
And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I have a Twitter account. I use it probably for not what most people do. I use it for news streaming. I don't actually post tweet anything, but I use it. I get information.
Have you ever used Mercat or Periscope?
Sadly, I had to look up what it actually was before we came on the call.
And what kind of smartphone do you have sitting in front of you there?
I have an Apple.
Okay. And what's the most popular app on that phone?
The most popular app for myself is probably something functional like Google Maps. The most popular app used on my phone is probably something like the Disney Junior app for my son to watch
cartoons.
You're
going to have to bump this up to be a nerd.
I'm sorry. I'm trying.
So we break into your house. How many tablet devices do we see there?
You're going to see three. You're going to see two iPads and a Kindle.
And what was the most recent post on a social networking site for you?
Let's see. There was some LinkedIn posts reposting articles.
That was a weak answer.
I'm sorry.
Now, here's the real differentiator here. When is your Apple Watch due? Did you order one of those new Apple Watches?
I'm probably an Apple Watch 2 person. So
you're sinking fast in this. You got to move it up.
I'm really
sorry.
You got to
move up your game.
I'm letting us down.
Last book you read, Tyler, was it electronic or paper?
It was electronic.
One point out of ten. That was weak. You're close to normal. You're nowhere near being a nerd, by the way. Now, April, she could surprise us. We never know about her.
I think my wife would argue about the nerd versus not nerd question, but I have a survey now that proves otherwise.
Yeah,
right?
So I'm good. Scientific survey at that. Okay, April, same questions to you. Do you have an Instagram account?
I do.
And how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
This one.
This one. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do, but like Tyler, I don't use it in the traditional.
You still get more points. And have you ever used Periscope or Meerkat?
I have not.
Okay. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone.
What's the most popular app in the last 30 days?
It's a tie between, and they're both transportation apps because I live right in Boston, Uber and the local MBTA.
And how many tablet devices do we have we break into your house?
I've got a Kindle, an iPad. And
what was your most recent post on a social networking site?
It was probably, I think it was on Facebook. It was a friend's wedding. I just went to this party.
And did you order the $17,000 Apple Watches?
No, I did not.
Oh.
I'm going to be honest. I think some of the other smartwatches, I think, under up? Android. I think they look better.
Mm. And the last book you read, April, was electronic or paper?
Paper.
She was so close to whooping you. She was close to whooping you there. You know, at the end, she's fading away in this race. You're both normal. Wow, we can't have that. We'll have to call up Iron Mountain and get some real nerds in here the next time and talk about encryption and TCP/IP and their Periscope adventures, which is always interesting because it kind of disappears real quickly. You know, I always like to mix light with serious topics here. And in my world, I'm in the world of marketing, and many times successful marketing endeavors normally involve some kind of buy-in from high-level executives. If I go in a company and say, listen, Sally, you should do X, Y, and Z, she's going to say, well, my boss is Mary, and she's not bought in, so it's not going to accomplish anything. So I might as well not even talk to anyone. I'll go next door and talk to someone rather than not getting buy-in. So the same is true with effective records management. I mean, you can listen to this podcast and read the white paper and know a lot, but if upper management doesn't buy in, you're lost.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And there's even when you think about the term records management, that term in and of itself has morphed over the past couple of years. Right now we're talking about information governance, and we're expanding the scope of what is records and information management. And having someone at the executive level overseeing that entire scope, the entire breadth of information assets, that is something that's not quite there today. And without that kind of executive level oversight and guidance and direction, it makes it that much harder to, you know, for each of these silos to work their ways through the muck.
I was telling my kids that 4 or 5 years ago, I was in this executive's office, and he was having his assistant print out his email so he could respond to the email and have her email in return. And it seems kind of silly. But maybe you print out this report and bring it in the executive's office and go, hey, read this. I mean, they should be aware of this survey, because if you're listening to this and you have a recalcitrant boss, well, look at this survey. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with Iron Mountain. It's just a survey of people. And a lot of people in different agencies have the same problem. Let's take a look at it. Huh, Tyler?
Yeah. You know, when we see this, I think what was great about this survey is that when you talk about buy-in and getting senior leadership to buy in, they hear a lot of the same messages from records managers. And this is a different audience for them, basically saying the same thing now, that they're having the same challenges and they need more confidence in it, and they need better training. So, you know, the survey really kind of highlights that point that I would, like you said, maybe not print it out, maybe email it to them, cut down on the paper, but, you know, we can, you know, they would see it and understand that it really is a, you know, kind of pervasive challenge. And it's more than just records managers that are feeling this pain, and, you know, getting buy-in. And that's something in the survey you can see, that one of the top challenges is other competing priorities, funding, or getting the right buy-in is some of the, you know, the roadblocks to moving things ahead. So they're even saying that to us.
Years and years ago, I had a friend who had a dog, and the dog's name was Nara, N-A-R-A. It's a Russian name or something. So when I think of Nara, I think of his little terrier from years ago. But N-A-R-A is the organization that is responsible for a lot of this, and they're the ones that can engage at an executive level and encourage people to train some of their folks better in the way of records management. Is that one agency that maybe can help?
Yeah, you know, NARA does a really good job of, you know, putting the policies and helping provide guidance, you know, but they're one agency, and it's really up to the other agencies to implement and deploy what the National Archives has helped put in place. And, you know, they can only do so much, right? So they provide what they can, and they provide guidance, and they have their blogs, like we mentioned, but, you know, I think agencies can look to them. They can look to industry, you know, partners like Iron Mountain or others to help them implement the change that they're looking for. But definitely the National Archives, they're a driving force in things and can really provide a lot of guidance.
And April, I don't want to rattle the sword here, but some listeners have legal responsibilities for retaining documents accurately. And this is not, you know, silly jokes about what's your favorite app, but this gets kind of serious, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There are legal repercussions, financial repercussions to not managing records appropriately. So when we were talking earlier about information economics and the value of information, it spans on over not only what are the benefits you can get out of better information, but also what are the risks you can mitigate from better information management.
So, Tyler, we know the Nationals are going to win the World Series this year. What's going to happen with records management in the federal government? They're going to figure it out? They're going to hit home runs? Or what's going to happen in the next 5 years real quick?
Yeah, you know, I think what's going to be more pervasive is the more automation of retention. I think as physical and electronic records kind of come together in governance, the ability through new tools and capabilities that we, you know, we build retention, we build better backups, that things basically become part of the process, whether that's email, files, that, you know, the quicker we do it, the better we do it, you know, fast, the greater.
Automation, good way to end. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest Tyler Morris, Director of Product Management, and April Chen, Product Manager for Iron Mountain Government Solutions.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.